Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Aaron Ain. How are you?
Great, Robert. Excited to be here and talk to you. Thank you.
My pleasure. And all of you will love hearing what he has to say, because Aaron is the CEO of UKG, and they went through an unprecedented merger and are a leader in human capital management and will have all sorts of insights about how to run your company as a great place to work. So first talk about the concept of what UKG is, and then you'll go into the merger.
UKG is a combination of two remarkable organizations in 2020, Ultimate Software and Kronos Incorporated, two leaders in software solutions that help organizations effectively manage their workforce, specifically keeping track of when people come and go so they're paid accurately, scheduling people so the right person is in the right place at the right time, paying people accurately, recruiting tools to help recruit great people, help drive performance, help look after the needs of employees and other similar areas like that.
So in 2005, you became CEO of Kronos, and you've been working in the organization. But during the pandemic, you did something that was truly unprecedented, which was a merger, and you didn't furlough anyone. And in fact, you added a couple of thousand people. Talk about what happened during the merger and why it was so successful.
First of all, I'm not sure I would call it just unprecedented. I'd call it, by some definitions, insanity, nuts, to go and do a merger like this in the middle of a pandemic. Two 6,000 employee companies that are located in different parts of the United States and bringing them together when we can't be together and we can't look after each other and do the normal things you do when you join organizations like this. And, you know, we announced it February 20th, 2020. The world seemed okay. We closed April 1st, 2020. The world was completely different. And we've successfully managed the business, looked after our employees, looked after their families, taken care of our customers during the period since then without any reduction in force, without any cut in pay, without any furloughs, without any cut in benefits. In fact, we've increased the benefits. We've increased looking after our employees to make this work. It all starts about the people, Robert, and we're focused on making sure that we look after the needs of our people and they'll look after the needs of the organization.
What's interesting is that is your business of having it all about the people. Are there any specific pros and cons of a merger that you could share with the CEOs?
You try to bring the best of both organizations together when you do any type of merger like this. You know, one organization doesn't have a corner on the market of all the best ideas about how to be effective. And so you listen carefully, you observe carefully, you see what each organization has great strengths in, you see where there could be improvements, and you put them together to come up with a better way. And the way I think about it is you don't do door A, which may be one company's way, and you don't do door B, which may be another company's way. You create a new door C. You create programs and tools and processes and organization models that reflect something that's better than what you had before. And we're deeply focused, and we continue to be deeply focused on that. Plus, you can't expect to get it all done overnight. You want it to be done overnight, but it takes a long time to go do it effectively with a global organization that is in so many different places.
So you have an advantage because you have all of the tools for human resource management. But the hardest thing every CEO always tells me, I even did a major study on this, a research project that Harvard Business Review did like 20-some-odd years ago, but it's culture. So are there any secrets to aligning the cultures, especially when you take two similarly equal-sized but very different cultures? And you talked about creating a C instead of A and B, but if there are any specific tips or tactics that CEOs could apply?
It's a great question, and it's one of the things that we've worked really hard on. You know, the one thing I learned, Robert, through this merger is Both Ultimate and Kronos were ranked as two of the top 100 organizations to work for in the United States, and quite frankly, around the world. And I'm told by Fortune Magazine and Great Places to Work that there's never been two top 100 organizations that have merged and the following year still stayed as a top 100 organization. But the interesting part about it is that I learned so well that while Ultimate, great culture, Kronos, great culture, they were very different, how they achieved those objectives. So I learned there's not one way to become a great company. There's not one way to have a great culture. And that's what leads me to have this passion about Dorsey, because I need to make sure I understand that we can be better than we were before. So certainly the culture starts with the people. The culture starts with making sure we look after the needs of our people. And then you just work it from there. And you have to be open and honest. You have to, live in a trusting environment every day. Look, I believe that trust is the magic glue that holds together all personal and all professional relationships. So I start all my relationships with people by trusting them. People have to unearn my trust. They don't have to earn my trust. And I try to follow those principles as we merge these companies.
So you've done more than stay in the top 100 of Fortune's list. And you've also been top on Glassdoor as well. But most CEOs I know are talking all the time wanting to be on that top 100 list. You were number 6 the year you merged. That is really interesting. From a CEO's perspective, you talked about trust. Are there any unique practices you have? I don't know. You have oatmeal with a CEO or bagels with, or are there any things you do where you email everyone once a week? Unique practices that you do that have helped you build this trust.
Look, I'm a big believer, Robert, in over-communicating. I believe it's the best way you can keep people engaged. I learned a long time ago that people want to know what's going on. Particularly, they want you to communicate with them in ways that are unexpected. So I do videos on a regular basis. They're ad hoc videos, once a week, once every 2 weeks. One take, by the way. If I fall down in the middle of the video, I get up and I just keep going. I tell the people that life only has one take. Why should my videos be more than one take? I do it. My wife videos me sometimes on my phone, my dog on my lap, things like this. Try to be genuine, but more importantly, be truthful, be honest. So during the pandemic, I told people in one of the videos that I know they were really scared early on. I told them that I was scared, that I was worried, that it was okay, but if we supported each other, we would be fine. In another one of the videos, I told them that I was worried we were all working too hard. And they had my permission in the middle of the day to go take a nap, play a video game, read a book, go for a walk, play with their kids, watch TV, because I trusted them to get their work done. And these are things that you start trusting your people and you communicate it from your heart, and you're genuine about it, people are aware of that and they will respond.
What a great answer. If someone is interested, what is your website?
UKG.com.
I want to ask you, everyone's trying to figure out, we're in a very stressful environment, obviously in the middle of a pandemic. Who knows if we're out, if we're not out. What's your take on how to get employees to manage their health better, to manage the stress level. So, because there's a lot of mental issues going on. It's prevalent. It's everywhere, like 1 out of 5 people in America.
My quick answer is, I don't think we really know yet the answer to the question. I manage, after all these years, and I'm in my 43rd year working for the same company, I manage by pattern matching. I lead by pattern matching. I say, oh gosh, we went through something like that 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, 3 years ago. With what's going on with this pandemic, there's no way to pattern match. So we're learning all as we go. Maybe if there's something like this again in the future, I can pattern match to it. I hope not from that perspective. And so what I mean specifically around that is that I want to figure out ways that we can encourage our people to be healthy, both physically and mentally. I want to encourage our people to look after each other. But I don't think we have figured out how to do it with so many of us working remotely. It's changed the dynamic of how we interact with each other. For me, I come to the office all the time because even though there's not a lot of people here, I want to have these ad hoc conversations in the hallway. I want to have these opportunities to talk to people, not just at the start and the end of a virtual conversation, using cameras with each other. And so we have to figure out how to do this. And I think it starts with figuring out how to get us back together. And I think human beings don't like to sit in the same type of void. Now, we're not going to come back to come back together the same way we did before. It'll be different, but I think we're still figuring it out.
We have been speaking with Aaron Ain, who is the CEO of UKG, the number 6 on best companies to work for, unprecedented in having a merger of two 100 best companies at the time of the pandemic. And everyone there, let your people take naps. Let them play videos. Let them be themselves. And if you have true heart, like I can tell from UKG, that's when your companies excel. Back in a few.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets. 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese. We're here today with Aaron Ames. How do you make employee engagement work? You're actually an expert at that. Your whole career, that's what you did. So how does that work? How does that work with the next generation?
I don't think it's significantly different with people in their 20s to people in their 60s. People want to be trusted. People want to be told the truth. People want to be communicated with. People want to have a great manager. People want to believe in the future. People want to understand the strategy. People want you to extend kindness and comfort to them. And so those things apply to, no matter, in my opinion, no matter what generation you're in or where you're doing it. So how do we do it? We just work on it really hard. Every day we adjust to the dynamics of what's happening in the world today. So I'll give you a little examples, maybe not the perfect next generation. During the pandemic, when people were going and all their kids were studying at home, and we were hearing from our employees that it was really hard for employees to be workers, employees, and teachers and parents at the same time, we went and kicked into gear, and we signed an agreement with a tutoring company, and we offered tutoring, online tutoring for all of our employees and their children. When summer camps were canceled, we created a virtual summer camp for the children of our employees. When after-school programming was canceled, we created after-school programming for the children of all of our employees, and we had thousands of children participating in that. So we adjusted, and those are things that it created an engaged environment. Those are things that create a connection to who we are, because people say, gee whiz, my company cares about me. My company cares about the whole thing with me. And those are examples of it.
Can I tell you, Aaron, I mean, probably I've interviewed like 1,000 CEOs or something. You have a different perspective. It's this genuine care, and it comes out in so many ways, from letting people take a nap to being who they are to playing video games, summer camps. I seriously commend you on that. I want to shift over, though. Give me an example. We haven't talked about a customer that you worked with who had a challenge, what you did, and what the end result.
Oh, there's endless ones we do. If we have customers that are in areas where there's some sort of disaster, natural disaster or something else, and they need help to get their facilities back up with our systems to help them manage their people, we do whatever we have to do, no questions asked. When COVID happened and we were trying to do contact tracing, and we created an app, a tool for contact tracing, and we gave it to any of our customers that wanted it for free. When we had customers, say, in the hospitality or transportation business, even though they had agreements with us, and they went from 100,000 employees to 20,000 employees, and they said, you need to help us? Of course we helped them. We stepped up and say, pay what you can pay. We've got your back. We'll look after your systems. We'll take care of you. You know, we live in a world where we need to take care of each other. We don't live in a vacuum. So think about whatever would be the thoughtful, right thing to do for your customers. For our customers, we told our people, that's what we're going to do. You have my permission to do that. In fact, I encourage you to do that. Go look for ways to do that. And our customers sent us notes saying, you're different than other vendors who we have, the way you stepped to the plate and helped us.
I love it. And I know you're really experts in some of the larger enterprise with over 100,000 people. Any specific advice to those CEOs, what they could do?
Look, I think whether you have 5 employees or whether you have 500,000 employees, the power of our success is our people. I believe great organizations are powered by great people. Great people produce better products. Great people deliver better service. But if you want to hire great people, you better make sure that you have an engaged environment. Because if you don't, those great people are going to do what great people can do. They'll get another job. So if no matter what size company you are, if you want to have those great outcomes, hire great people. If you don't want to go do all the work to have an engaged environment, then hire average people, because average people don't have as many choices. But I don't think any of us as CEOs want to do that. And so I think it all starts with this people thing.
So, Aaron, you have said and people have said that you're a true people person. How does that tie into being a transformative CEO?
We don't succeed as an organization unless the people who work for us succeed as an organization. We don't succeed as an organization, quite frankly, if the families of the people who work for us aren't successful. I tell people who work for us all the time that if the most important thing in their life is working for UKG, they have their priorities mixed up. The most important thing in their life should be their families. I want UKG to be really important, but the most important thing, that's silly. That's silly. So that's why as a CEO, I put people at the center, right at the core of everything I do. During this pandemic, for example, and still going on during this past 18 months, which, by the way, has been likely the most difficult 18 months of my career, I wake up most mornings and I think to myself, what am I going to do today to protect the people who work for us? And I go to bed most nights and I reflect, how did I do on looking after the interests of our people? And so I think today it's really important for CEOs to step to the plate and do this. Why? I think to some extent our government agencies and our non-governmental agencies have really not done an effective job providing comfort and kindness and guidance and protection to the people in our societies. And so I accept the responsibility, and I know other CEOs do as well, that we have to play a role here. We have to fill the void. We're the ones who have to provide that comfort and guidance and kindness and direction to the people who work for us and the people who and the families of the people who work for us. And I take that really seriously. And that's why I think about it every morning and I think about it every night and why it's so important to me. Because someone has to do it and I accept the responsibility to do it. And again, I think other CEOs do it as well, but the more we can do it, the better.
As we were speaking, you know, you're getting a lot of credit because you have been not just a 100 best company to work for in America, but number 6, and you get great, great scores on Glassdoor and everything. How do you feel about that?
It's an interesting thing. It's sometimes it's a little bit embarrassing for me, Robert. I think that this is a team effort. When things go well, people want to talk to the CEO. They want to see what I'm thinking about it, but I don't do what I do by myself. In fact, I believe strongly I get too much credit when things go well. I think all CEOs get too much credit when things go well. Now, on the other side, I think CEOs get too much blame when things don't go well. So I suppose it's better to get too much credit because it means we're doing okay. But I always reflect that it's a team effort, that it's not just about me. The world does not revolve around me. It revolves around us, and I practice what I do every single day from that perspective.
And there you have it. A real pleasure having you on the CEO show.
Thanks, Robert.
Are you from California, Illinois, New York, Georgia, or any of the other 39 states that charge state income tax? Does your state claim you owe them any amount of back taxes? Or have you not filed in years? Is your heart pounding because you know they're wrong or you just don't have the money? Don't fight the state income tax board alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you. The state is much more aggressive than the IRS in collecting taxes. They have the power to take your home, your car, your driver's and business licenses, even garnish your wages, freeze your bank accounts, and go after your spouse. Solve all your income tax problems permanently and keep more of your hard-earned money. Make this 100% guaranteed risk-free call right now.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
America. I'm Robert Breese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with David Rubenstein. How are you, David?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for inviting me.
And David, as you know, is the co-founder and co-chairman of the Carlyle Group. And we've spoken with David previously, as you're aware, but right now is a critical juncture in time. As we are emerging from the pandemic, what's more requisite than anything is leadership. So we're going to talk about his leadership philosophy, risk, competitive positioning, and how we make the world better. So let's start off. David, if you could talk about, if you were through all of your experiences, how would you codify your leadership philosophy?
Well, I guess my philosophy is that if you want to be a leader, you have to lead. And to lead, you have to learn how to communicate with people. You have to get them to follow you. And the best way to get people to follow you is by leading by example. So if you really want to be a great leader, do what you're telling other people to do. If you tell people to do a certain thing after the pandemic, you should be doing it yourself. You also want to inspire confidence in people. People want to be led in most cases, but they want to have confidence in the person that's leading them. So it's very important that you conduct yourself in a way where people will say, I trust this person, I have confidence in this person, I will follow this person.
And that changes or does not change because of the current environment we're in right now?
Well, leadership is the same through the centuries. You have to have certain abilities to inspire people. You have to have the ability to give them confidence. But we have a very difficult situation now. All of us are used to situations where you come back after a vacation, you come back after maybe a summer off or something, but virtually nobody is used to taking more or less a year off or a year and a half off, working remotely, and now coming back to the office. It's a very difficult situation. No answer is perfect. No CEO has a perfect answer. And I think each organization has to come up with what works best for that organization. But I think you have to be a CEO who says, this is what we're going to do. I'm providing leadership. If you want to be part of the team, follow me. You can't say, do whatever you want. Everything that is okay, whatever you want to do is fine with me. That's nice and might sound nice in a party or something. But if you really want to be a leader in business, you have to give people a sense of leadership. You have to tell them, this is what we are going to do. Now, all organizations are now struggling with, do you come back 5 days a week? Do you come back less than 5 days a week? Do you come back no days a week? Do you work remotely for part of the time? How do you keep people engaged in what you're doing? How do you educate people? These are the issues that everybody is struggling with. There's no perfect answer.
When you're looking about that, you're talking about really the new model of connected workforce. And being that no one really knows, and you're saying a leader has to take the front position, how do leaders discern what the best way to move forward in terms of the workforce, the technology, who will work out of the office? Do they let things where people emerge and keep changing? How do you stay, in other words, in the leadership position when you're in unprecedented and uncharted waters?
In this particular case, no one has a perfect answer because we really haven't been through something like this in our lifetimes. But I would say what most CEOs that I'm aware of are doing is they're talking to their senior people. They're also talking to the people that often are the real leaders in the lower part of the organization, the younger people. What do the younger people think is appropriate? What do some of the senior leaders think is appropriate? Talk to them, gauge their views, but then you as the CEO have to come up with the correct decision about what the organization is going to do. Now, you should recognize there is no perfect decision. Whatever you do, somebody will find some fault with it, and whatever you do, you'll realize you could have done something better. But you have to take a position. For example, we've seen that Jamie Dimon has said he wants his people back in the office. We've seen that David Solomon says he wants his people back in the office at Goldman Sachs. Maybe they're making changes on how they normally get people in the office, but people in some cases are saying, I want people back in the office. Other CEOs are saying, if you want to work at home 5 days a week, that's okay if you actually can do the job. And other people are saying, come in 3 days a week, come in 2.5 days a week, whatever you think is appropriate. Whatever the leader thinks is appropriate for his or her organization is what the leader should come back with and say, this is what we're doing. That doesn't mean that it's etched in stone. It's not the Ten Commandments. Maybe after a week or a month or 6 months, people will say, I didn't really do it quite the way I wanted to do it, but here's what we should do to adjust. And so I think the most important thing is take a position, be firm,
say what you believe is the right thing to do, and then follow through with that as much as you can.
It reminds me of what Bill Marriott, or Mr. Marriott, once told me, which is decide to decide. So let's move on to the concept of risk. Let's say if Abe Lincoln, who I and many view as the greatest leader of contemporary times, what would he say the greatest risks are in our world right now?
Well, of course, Abraham Lincoln was living in different times. It's hard to know what he would have said today. But I think he was the kind of person who listened to other people and didn't put his ego at stake. He did what he thought was best for the organization, the country, the government, and he tried to not have his ego be the most important thing. So I think whatever you decide to do as the CEO, I think the most important thing is to make it about the organization and not about you. Don't make it what's convenient for you. Don't say, this is what I think we should do because I'm smarter than you, I'm better than you, I know more than you know. Don't tell people how great you are. Let other people tell you how good you are. What you need to do is figure out what makes the most sense for the organization and then provide leadership. People want to be led. We can't have 7.5 billion leaders on the face of the earth. We can have a limited number of leaders. In your own organization, you are the leader. And if you don't lead, you've got to get out of the way because people will want somebody who's a leader. So don't be afraid of making a mistake. There's nothing wrong with making mistakes. Everybody understands mistakes. What people don't want is somebody who isn't leading. That's a bigger mistake, and that's a mistake that's not really forgivable.
Strong point. Let's talk about the markets. A lot of people are talking about inflation. As you look at risk, you have a deep, deep background. What is your sense of the risk in terms of the financial markets, capital markets?
The principal issue the markets are waiting for is figuring out when the Federal Reserve is going to increase interest rates, because interest rates have been artificially low for quite some time. And I think it's going to be a while before the Fed is really ready to increase interest rates. They've given signals that in 2023 they expect to do some interest rate increases, perhaps two. Some people think the Fed will do so sooner. In my own view, I don't think the Fed is going to do anything that quickly, certainly not before the election in 2022. I believe that the Federal Reserve and certainly the administration, to the extent it has influence, does not really want to see interest rates go up before the election, because that's likely to produce a bad effect on the stock market and it will have deleterious effects on the economy, I think most people think. So therefore, I think the administration would view, if they had control over it — they don't control the Fed — but the administration would like to see the problem we've had with the economy get out of the way, have the recovery be complete, have the vaccination process be complete, and then we'll assess the situation. Now, as some of you have heard me say before, when I worked in the White House under President Carter, we had double-digit inflation. So the kind of inflation we're talking about now is nothing compared to what we had then. If you went to college in the 1960s, 70s, or 80s, the standard textbooks would say that inflation that was normal would be 3 or 4% a year. But in the last 10, 15 years, we've become used to inflation that's under 2%. Now that inflation seems to be hovering around maybe 3% for at least a while, that's not so bad in my view. I don't think it's going to have deleterious effects on the economy. Now, if it were to go up from 3 to 4 to 5 to 6% and it was going to stay there, that's a problem for sure. But I think the Federal Reserve's view and my view is that it'll probably hover around 3% and go back to closer to 2% in the next 6 months to 9 months, because we really have artificial things that are making inflation a little bit higher. I think many manufacturers did not correctly anticipate how great consumer spending would be during the period of the pandemic, and therefore they shut down or modified their production capabilities. Now they're ramping up again, they've had to ramp up and therefore pay higher costs to get supplies and so forth. But I don't really think we see an enduring double-digit inflation problem or even a double-digit problem of any type in terms of interest rates or anything like that.
So many people have said right after the pandemic, we went into the roaring 20s from 1918. Do you see something like that happening with our economic risk or not really?
The roaring 20s occurred because I think the government was not quite as sophisticated then about inflation, interest rates, and managing the economy. I think the government is much better, so I don't see an out-of-control roaring 20s again. But I do think the economy will do reasonably well for at least another year or so, because I think you have a lot of pent-up demand. people are willing to spend. They're going to come out of their homes and begin spending, traveling, and so forth. And I think while inflation's not going to go to very high levels, it may inch up a little bit where from where it's been over the last decade or so. That's not something I worry about that much. But I do think that the stock market and spending will be reasonably strong. I don't think, though, we're going to see a roaring 20s situation will lead to a Great Depression. I think it was too much out of control in the roaring 20s that led to the Great Depression. I don't see anything like that in the offing.
Well, thank you, David. A pleasure having you on the CEO show.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Folks, it looks like food shortages are here and going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is an important message. Do you have an IRA, 401k, or retirement account worth more than $100,000? Your portfolio may qualify for an IRS tax loophole that allows you to own physical, precious metals inside of your retirement account. Want our free report that shows you how? We are WealthProtectionResearch.com, and we help investors connect with the top precious metal companies in America to own physical gold and silver inside their retirement account using this little-known but very powerful IRS loophole. To claim your free IRS loophole report today, just text the word GOLD to 48542. WealthProtectionResearch.com wants to get this information in your hands now so that you can protect your hard-earned investments. Text GOLD to 48542 to learn more. When you text the word GOLD to 48542, we'll send you a secure link to download our IRS loophole report to show you how to start protecting your wealth with precious metals. Don't wait. Text the word GOLD to 48542 now. Wealth Protection Research. Text GOLD to 48542.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$5,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hello, America. This is Robert Reese, and we're with David Rubenstein, the co-founder and co-chairman of the Carlyle Group. When you really started the Carlyle Group, there weren't many models. How did you view the positioning at that point in terms of what you were trying to accomplish?
When I started Carlyle with some partners in 1987, the phrase private equity had not even yet been invented. We were known as a buyout shop. And later they became private equity firms and so forth. But the whole idea of building a global private equity firm or a global buyout shop did not exist. I had a vision, which my partners agreed to, that we would build a kind of Fidelity or T. Rowe Price of private equity, which is to say not just do buyouts, but to do many different things in different private investment categories, growth capital, real estate, debt, whatever it might be, and then globalize it. So we'd be a global private investment firm. Well, obviously, others have done the same. Blackstone, KKR, Apollo are really in the same category doing the same things. So I had a vision of where we wanted to go, which is to be a global, multidisciplined firm. And ultimately, I thought we would take it public, which we did.
From there, what lessons did you learn about how you go into a market?
Well, when you're going into a new market, what we tended to do was to make sure we had local people and local knowledge. We didn't take Yankees and send them to Europe or Asia or Latin America or the Middle East. We would hire local people, but always make certain they were part of a firm. We weren't franchising our name. We made certain they were part of one firm. The most important thing of any organization is its culture. You have to have a certain culture, and that culture has to be one that people buy into and feel that it's a pleasant place to work. You can't really keep great people if they feel it's not a good culture, not a happy culture. You can always pay people a lot of money, and sometimes you can get them to stay. But if the culture is not good, eventually people who are good are going to leave. They'll start their own organization. So culture is the most important thing, making certain you have local knowledge, and also communicating with people all over the world regularly so that they know what you think is very important.
And how about what we've seen from a societal standpoint in terms of bringing harmony to America? We obviously have a great divide politically, racially. What is your take on how CEOs manage that?
Well, you're correct. The country right now is fairly divided. The Congress isn't able to do that much because it's bitterly divided between Democrats and Republicans, but that really reflects the country. We have red states and we have blue states in ways that we didn't 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago, where a state might go Democratic or Republican in a presidential election. Now you can pretty much predict how 80, 85% of the states are going to go in every presidential election because we become red or we become blue, and it's going to take a while to change that. I think CEOs have to be sensitive to that. I think getting involved in politics is probably generally not a good thing for CEOs to be too actively involved in politics as a general rule of thumb. I think it's better to kind of stay out of politics. That doesn't mean you should be silent, though, on issues like racial harmony or income inequality. I think a CEO has an obligation to speak up on issues that are important to the country, but also important to the customer base, also important to the employee base. You don't want to have an employee base that thinks that the CEO is completely insensitive to racial problems in the country or completely insensitive to climate change or other things. Now, how much impact you can have is a different issue, but I think giving voice to some of these concerns in an appropriate way does help the company.
You are coming out with a new book, correct?
I have a new book called The American Experiment, which is about what it means to be an American. What are the unique qualities that have come together to produce this country over the last 230 years or so since the Constitution was ratified? And I also have a new TV show on investing, where I talk to the greatest investors in the world about what it means to be a great investor, how they do it, and how people can not necessarily follow them becoming great leaders like they did in the investment world, but also they can get some tips on how they can invest their own money. So, yes, thank you very much for mentioning that.
What is your hope for America and how we will emerge in terms of the fabric of the world?
Clearly, we've suffered a black eye in the eyes of many people around the world following the most recent election. So whatever side you're on, I think you have to recognize that the system we had didn't work perfectly. And therefore, we need to find ways to make the system work better so people think it's fair and we honor the commitments that the founding fathers had. Their rhetoric was wonderful. Obviously, they didn't live up to the rhetoric in everything they did. But the rhetoric is wonderful of everyone being equal, everybody having certain rights. And we need to do more than we have done to make certain that system really comes to be.
If you were thinking from the Constitution of any one article that codifies where we need to be as a nation, what would that be?
Well, in the Constitution, there are many important things, but I think the most important part of the Constitution probably is the Bill of Rights. It wasn't part of the Constitution initially, but I think it gives us protections and freedoms that I think are essential. And interestingly, in a survey that I had done in preparation for my book, most people in the United States, when they're asked what is the most important right they have in this country, it's the right to free speech. That is very important to people, extremely important. And I think that is very important to me as well. I think people should have the right to be able to speak and say what they want, though I don't think you should shout down people that might have different views. And we should let people express themselves, assuming they're not inciting riots or doing hate kinds of related things. But I do think the right to freedom of speech and the right to freedom of religion is very important in our country.
How do you get people to really listen, to open up and say, we are not going to be stuck in our stance. We want to listen to others and embrace others, even when they have different views?
Theory behind a democracy that we have, a representative democracy, is that there's an informed citizenry. Now, we have not done a wonderful job informing the citizenry in some cases. We don't teach civics or history very much anymore. And you find an appalling lack of knowledge of how our government works by many people in our country. So if there was one thing I would do, I would try to educate more people about civics and education. And educate them about civics and history. But also, I would want to make sure people can learn how to read better. As you may have heard me say before, 14% of the people in this country are functionally illiterate. They can't read past the fourth grade level. If you're functionally illiterate, you have a high chance of being in our juvenile delinquency system or in our federal prison system. And you also don't have a very good chance of earning a good income. So I think we've got to educate people better, make our schools better, but also begin to make certain that people understand what the government is all about and know more about our history.
And let's tie that back into the final question of this radio interview, which is, what is the CEO's role in doing that?
The CEO has to be the leader. If you are feeling that you're not really equipped to be a leader, don't be the CEO. There's nothing wrong with not being the CEO of a company. Many people are not CEOs, and they have quite nice lives. But if you want to be a CEO, you have to provide leadership. You have to say, how can I get people to follow me? You have to show people where you're going, and you have to show them how you're going to get there. And if you can't do that, you're not going to be an effective CEO. But I think three skills that I think are very important in communicating as a CEO are, one, learning how to communicate orally. So when you make a speech, you do it in a way that people feel they've heard something that's important to follow. Second, learning how to write well. Learning how to communicate by written form is also very important. Learning how to express yourself in written forms, particularly in an age when so many people are reading so many things over the Internet, is very important. And third, as I said earlier, the most important way to lead, and the best way to lead, is leading by example. You say you're going to do something, you want others to do it. Do it yourself. You say it's important to do this or that, do it yourself. Show people by your example. That's the best way to lead.
On that note, thank you, David. A pleasure having you again on the CEO Show.
My pleasure.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.